Muy buenos días.
Good morning to all those who are connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8 and other means of communication. Today, Friday, February 7th of this year, 2025, our subject is the blessing of following God's counsel in our time. It was preached on September 18 of 2010 in Portobelo, Rondônia, Brazil. And let's read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 and on, where it tells us, but we speak, verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, and yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And there he writes, Matthew 11:25-27, and 13, verse 11 to the 17th, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have sacrificed the Lord of glory, which took place in the first coming of the Lord, and will also take place in the second coming of the Lord, meaning this happens again in the fulfillment of Revelation 11, because the wisdom of this world, of the Gentile world, is a human wisdom, an intellectual one, which, that is, by the intellect, which the religious leaders of that time also had, and that is why they killed, crucified Jesus, the fulfillment of the first coming of the Lord. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. In this Bible, he also writes there, Zechariah chapter 7, verse 11 to 12, and he draws three circles. And he also writes Romans 11, Matthew 13, and Isaiah chapter 40, verse 13. Those scriptures there on the left of this Bible. The blessing of following God's counsel in our time. You may please be seated. In the message, The Obedient Wife, which was preached on Sunday, August 1st of 2010 in Santiago, Chile, Dr. William Soto Santiago tells us, and every born-again believer in Christ has his image, just like that of Christ. In other words, his heavenly body from the dimension of God, from the dimension of God's angels, from the dimension of the heavenly body of Christ. And all that we are missing is the physical likeness of God, which is the glorified body, like the glorified body that Jesus Christ has. That is the physical body or likeness of God, in which God dwelt in all his fullness, a body created by God. Likewise, God will also create an eternal and glorified body for the believers in Christ who died, resurrecting them in glorified bodies, and he will transform us who are alive, because these bodies are also of the dust of the ground and in the form of flesh. Now, notice, those who are going to return from the sixth dimension will come in those eternal and glorified bodies once that promise is fulfilled, that prophecy of Revelation 11, because it is the second time that a leader like it was in the first coming of the Lord, prophesies that he will die and that he will resurrect 3 days later. And that takes place again with the ministry of Moses and Elijah with that instrument. He is the second man who has prophesied and has said that he would rise after 3 days. None of the messengers who have gone on, who have departed, have returned after 3 days. And that ministry of Moses and Elijah, that instrument after, and that will be a global sign. And as our brother William says, it is just a short trip for 3 days, 3.5 days. Notice, that sign will be seen worldwide. Therefore, he is the only instrument who goes, is there during 3.5 days in that judgment of the sixth dimension, because they asked Brother Branham, and they told him, in other words, Brother Branham asked, that we would like to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus, and he is told he'll come to you and judge you, meaning that they are waiting for the coming of the Lord there, and that's when Revelation 11 is fulfilled, where he will go there and then have that judgment there, and he will then come in the same body in which those ministries were operating on earth, meaning it's only 3 days. And he will return again, and the Spirit of God will come upon the body once again there, as we see in Revelation 11. And he then brings those of the sixth dimension, as it happened in the first coming of the Lord. When Jesus was crucified and buried, he did not take 5 days, 6 days, 7 days, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 7 years to bring the resurrection. It was only 3 days. Therefore, the second coming of the Lord is in the same way. He says that it will be parallel in everything. And we see how people deceive the people by twisting the scripture for them, which can even be understood by a child. That is why the children, because they do not have that malice, they do not have that reasoning. The word, the revelation comes into them. It reaches them directly, and they believe it because they don't start to reasoning the word. That is why he said, if you do not receive, let's read it, let's search it. Let's search for it in the scripture there. Luke and Mark speak to us about that. Luke 18:15, and also Mark chapter 10 verse 13. But let's go to Luke, to St. Luke chapter 18 verse 15, and it says, and they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Notice that in children, because they do not have that knowledge of good and evil until they reach the age of 10 and on. But notice, a child, that's why children go directly to heaven. Now, notice how children, from the child's human side, because they do not have that reasoning, and they don't reason the word, rather they believe it when they receive the revelation. For example, this great revelation that God is giving us at this time regarding to what the seventh seal is, regarding the thunders, what the thunders are, the coming of the Lord, regarding to what Revelation 11 is, when they receive it and see all of that, even a child, it says, understand it, because it is something, let's say, logical, let's say, but already, because they are children, and that goes directly to the soul, they believe it. It is like when he said that in the great 10th cathedral, in the fulfillment of the 10th vision, in those activities and all, he says that there will be a little room there where that instrument will be and where that person will be, whether it is his office, he says, or to be studying, to study. And notice, a child sees that and believes it and knows that there is an instrument there where God is using him and where that instrument is using that place to study. Well, logically, A person in an eternal and glorified body cannot come to study in an office. Meaning, those are things that, as we say here, it falls off the branch. And notice, Jesus, before being crucified, they ask him regarding the coming of the Lord, the second coming, and he says that not even the Son knows. When he says that not even the Son knows, in other words, he still didn't have that knowledge there. But notice that afterwards, once he received the glorified body in the resurrection, then he did. In that body, one knows all things, so one doesn't have to go into an office to study, see? Those are such logical things that you do not need so much education to know these things. But the very simplicity makes the person, the blind person, unable to see that great mystery of the seventh seal. And that is the worst illness that a person can have, the spiritual illness, being spiritually blind, where they can't even understand something simple. But blessed are your eyes, elect of God, and your ears, because many of the prophets desire to see and hear what you are seeing and what you are hearing in this end time. Now, our brother William continues to say here, in this message, the obedient wife, and then we will fully be in the image and likeness of God. We will have the fullness of God, the divine fullness, and then from that point on, things will change a lot for me and for who else? Well, for each one of you as well. In the meantime, we take care of the body that we have, because if we lose it, we have to wait in paradise until we are given the new and eternal body. That is why, in this time in which there are so many dangers, we have to take care of ourselves, take care of our health, be careful in the traffic as well, while driving correctly to avoid causing any problem and avoid others causing us problems as well. Always on the lookout, driving carefully, not driving exacerbated, but being cautious about everything and looking at the signs too, and respecting the traffic signals. And look, Christ took care of his disciples when they were on the ship. They were going to be destroyed by that storm. They cried out to Christ, and Christ stopped the storm. Now, he doesn't always have to stop the storm. There are times when he says, get out of that place. As he told them back in the time in which Jerusalem would be destroyed, they wanted to know when it would be. He told them, when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, the time of its destruction has come. Now, notice, in the spiritual part, which comes first, before all those things that will come, we must take care of the spiritual part before the mark of the beast intensifies. Now, notice on page 162 from the Book of Quotations, in the paragraph 1439, it tells us, they're all uniting together now at the great ecumenical council and going to have the world church all coming under one head, where Satan will be throned just exactly. And the last call is going out to catch the bride before she gets into that. For once in that, she's took the mark of the beast and doomed, she'll never come out of it. And above he writes, the Pope, and he writes, head, the mark of the beast. And also on page 52, of the Book of Quotations, in paragraph 450, it tells us, Revelation 14:6-12, that's the three last angels, three angels. After the seven last angels, there were three special angels come forth. Did you notice that? And now, I want you to notice them three last angels. First angel, that's Revelation 14, 6 to 12. The first angel had sounded a trumpet of the gospel and had the everlasting gospel preached to all the world. The second angel kind of preached a holiness gospel, see? Because he said that the church had committed fornications. And the third angel roared out to escape the mark of the beast. Watch, the first angel at the Reformation, Luther, preached the gospel. Second angel, Wesley, sanctification. The fornication, he straightened up the church. But the third message, the Pentecostal message, should be the true messenger warning them to escape the mark of the beast. That's the very message today. Notice, the very next verse, the 12th to 13th verse, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. What's the next? Armageddon. Church is gone then after the third angel's message. And on the right, he draws a cornerstone and the seventh age part of the seventh age. And above there, he writes, Armageddon. And here at the bottom, on 52, on the bottom right, under the paragraph where we started reading, he writes the third message. And in the last three sentences there, of that bottom left part, there in the center part, he draws a part of the lower part of the ages and only divides the seventh age there. Now notice how important it is to follow the divine counsel in terms of the spiritual part, which is the most important one. Now, look, our brother William continues to say here, later on in this same message, the obedient wife, he says, and when the storm comes, when the Weather Bureau announces that a storm is coming, well, people have to secure their homes. Those who live along the coast by the sea, well, they are told to move away from that area, from that place, because the tide will rise. It will probably go up. And if it reaches where they are living, well, they will die. And no one wants their family to die. Ignoring those announcements from the Weather Bureau is negligence on the person's part and lack of love for his family. Don't think it's very loving towards your family to take them their food and leave them there in danger. More than taking them their food, you have to get them out of the danger zone. And that's what Christ did. He told them not to be there, to leave when they saw that Jerusalem was surrounded by armies. Perhaps anyone may have said, there is a temple, there is the presence of God, we are going to pray there in the temple, and God will look after us. Well, look, he didn't look after anyone. Those who stayed there died, and many were crucified. The crosses were placed along the walls of Jerusalem. In other words, it wasn't a matter of saying, I am spiritual, I pray to God and God will take care of me. Rather, it's like saying, a person who did that and died and went to heaven saying, I prayed for you to deliver me, but you did not deliver me. But I told you that when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, you should leave that place. See that? You were negligent, and you were negligent with your family. You didn't love your family. Therefore, there is no questioning. Christ is the one who will demand an explanation for those ignorant and rebellious people. They fall into the rebellion of Dathan, Korah, and Abiram, and all those who rebelled against Moses because they didn't act according to the counsel that they received. Now notice, that will also happen to those who have been disobedient of what Dr. William Soto Santiago spoke, that mighty archangel who brought us the good tidings, who also foreran the coming of the Lord. And he wrote there, forerunner, or will forerun, or foreruns, as he writes in several places. Now notice how he said, there will be a tent, and the mighty angel will be revealing himself there, the pillar of fire will be there. Tune in with the tent and all of that, those advices that he gave. Now afterwards, when the person finds themselves in the great tribulation, he will have to go before the leaders who led them. In other words, they told them, no, don't tune into that. My congregation isn't going to tune into that. They will tune into this. Well, look, they aren't following the divine counsel there, nor the counsel of this time. And when they find themselves there, surely they will search for the leaders. There is a place where he said that if they have not departed or those leaders have not taken their lives by then, like Judas did, because they will then realize the great harm that they caused by speaking against Jesus and getting all those people to go against Jesus to cause a coup d'etat against Jesus and his disciples. Now notice that they then will go and demand an explanation from those leaders as to why they are there and they didn't receive the blessing of the transformation. Now, he continues to say, for example, we also have the case of California. Scientists have already studied California from above and from below, and they have said that the destruction of Los Angeles, California is inevitable. That, look, there are several places, but let's read one to see, to start seeing the whole picture there. Notice on 141, paragraph 1266, it says, and then 2 days after that, Alaska sunk almost up there, and up and down that west coast has been the thunders and pushing and everything happening. And one of these days, she's going to slide beneath the ocean, right? What is it? We are living in the hour of the coming of the Lord. And on the left, he writes, the hour. On the right, upwards, he writes, we are in the hour. And he also writes above, the California earthquake. And there he also writes, Jeffersonville equals in the east. And he also writes there, we are in the hour of the coming of the Lord. Those three sentences above the paragraph, the California earthquake, Jeffersonville equals in the east, we are in the hour of the coming of the Lord. Now, our brother William continues to say, all of that will go underwater. God has also said so on television, through the media, on the television channels that share that information, such as Discovery and other informational channels are saying it as well. And beyond that, God sent the forerunner of the second coming of the Lord, and he told them right there that it would be destroyed. And he told them, get out of there to the believers in Christ. Don't stay there. Now, that is why he said to us, have the books of the seals, ages, quotations, and the messages of Brother Branham, because he was the forerunner of the second coming of the Lord. And as he said that it would be taking place and that promise would be fulfilled, that is how it would be. And he also prophesied about everything that would be taking place in the midst of the people, in the midst of mankind, with all those divine judgments, like the one of North America, that when he saw it in the last vision, he turned around and he said that he saw craters and smoke over North America. Notice, he also prophesied about Los Angeles, California. He also spoke of Florida. He also spoke of England, that it would sink. See? And all of that to be fulfilled at this end time. That is why we should have those messages and review them as we do, that we read excerpts from Brother Branham and also from the Bible and also of the messages of our Brother William. All of that is the foundation of this end time. God left plenty of food, an abundant mountain of bread for the church bride. Now, he continues to say, but no one is forced to do what God says. Everyone has free will. He is given the information, he is given the recommendations as well, but every person must act according to how he wants to act, because of the free will that he has, because it is the person's responsibility. That is why when they ask, because sometimes they ask me, what do we do? There you have the answer. Each person must take that responsibility. If they moved with the family, well, you are responsible for your family and for looking out for what's best for your family. Now, notice in the message, warning, then judgment, it tells us on page 6-7 of this message, it says, now everyone has this. We might say, well, this fellow died without a warning. No, no, no. God never. You don't know what was in the man's heart. You don't know what's been going on in his life. See, God never brings any man to his death without first warning him about it, telling him it's something, a preparation. God is sovereign, and He knocks at the heart of every man, giving him the opportunity to come. Now, he might warn away and turn it down. That is where he writes on the right upwards in three sentences. God always gives the opportunity for man to choose. Now, he might warn away and turn it down and shake his head to it and walk away and say, it's just a funny feeling, I'll get over it. But anyhow, it was God speaking to him, and God never even brings judgment upon the earth without first giving the people a warning. God never does nothing without declaring it first what he is going to do, and he gives people a choice. And you can do right or wrong, as we have been talking about since the ministry under the tent began. But because the person has free will, then he decides. He is the one who chooses either right or wrong. The person can either do the right thing or the wrong thing. That's his. See, God can never change his nature. His program can never change from what he started with, because he's infinite, and his program and his ideas are all perfect. So if he would change it, that would show that he had learned more. So being infinite, he cannot learn more. His first decision is always perfect, and there's nothing can ever change it. See, God, before man ever was put, had a chance to do wrong, God put him in the basis to where he could accept or deny, he could receive or not. And our brother William goes on to say here, anyone can say many years have passed and the California earthquake hasn't come. They might say, I stayed because I knew it wouldn't come soon. Yes, but he is considered disobedient to God's counsel. And if they went against that counsel and said, I have my business here, my family studies here, and countless other excuses that doesn't count before God, because through the prophet forerunner of the second coming of Christ, God said to leave. He didn't say when it would happen, but he recommended that they leave. Now, look, there is also a message here titled, Watchmen, What of the Night? On page 10, it says, and then, as we could go on, hour after hour, Let's see here. And then, as we could go on hour after hour on all the prophets, how they have prophesied of this, wouldn't it make one cry out, Watchmen, what of the night? The Pentagon doesn't have the answer. The United States doesn't have the answer. Germany, Russia, none of them have the answer. Science doesn't have the answer. Who has the answer? And he writes to the left. He writes Revelation 10, 1 to 11. That's the coming of the mighty angel. Now we know who has the answer. The watchman. That's on the wall, he has the answer, and he writes, the tower, watchman, the Holy Spirit. The watchman that's on the wall has the answer, watchman, what of the night? And the Holy Spirit is that watchman who is making ready the people and giving warnings from God. He has been set as a watchman. We see the sick being healed, blinded eyes coming open, deaf ears unstopped, cripples walking, the lame leaping like a hart, fulfilling the, what is it? It's the coming of the Lord pressing on. And he writes above, every angel messenger is the watchman of the night of the seven church ages. And the one of the morning is the angel of Jesus, that is the messenger to Israel. Now, our brother William goes on to say, if they had left, that is, if they had come out of there, out of California, they would have set up their businesses in other places. They would have been at ease in other places and not fearing every day that the earthquake of Los Angeles, California could take place. Because every time there is a shaking, people think it is the earthquake, which even the science has been announcing and which is inevitable, which recently, look at that disaster that occurred there. But it was by fire, where several hectares burned in that territory of Los Angeles, California. Now, look, on 148, all those are divine judgments. In paragraph 1322, it says, though city who claims to be the city of the angels, who has exalted yourself into heaven and sent all the dirty, filthy things of passions and things on the right, he writes, Los Angeles, California, till even the foreign countries come here to pick up our filth and send it away to your fine churches and steeples and so forth. The way you do, remember, one day you'll be laying on the bottom of the sea, your great honeycomb under you right now. The wrath of God is belching right beneath you. And on top of that, he writes, hell. How much longer he will hold this sandbar hanging out over that, when that ocean out yonder, a mile deep, will slide in there, plumb back to the Salton Sea. And on the right, he writes, Pacific. And there at the bottom, he writes, Salton Sea. And above, he writes, in two sentences, USA, the California earthquake, was symbolized in the one of Alaska. And on page 151, in the paragraph 1346, it also tells us there, looky yonder, that nearly one-tenth of the earth, and there on the right, he writes 10%, and above he writes, California earthquake, one-tenth of the earth is ready to fall in. Science says that. They are looking on the clock. Few years ago said, it's only 3 minutes now till midnight. Might be a minute, might be half a minute now. They said, it won't happen in our generation. It could happen in 5 minutes. And notice, I was watching that they moved up the clock. They say it's the doomsday clock. By a little bit. That is, it was brought up. It's closer now, they say. And notice, the next thing he said, 5 years, I never said that now. He said that the scientists, they are swarming away from California like flies. See? Well, the day that Lot went out, and above he writes, the foolish. The day Lot went out of Sodom, the same day it rained fire upon the earth. One of these days, God is going to take our message and we're going to live here. Something is going to happen, sure enough. And above something, he writes, rapture. Something is going to happen, sure enough, then, when the church is gone, his body, his bride. And he writes below that, the earthquake of California and 10%. And above he writes, when Lot went out. Now, our brother William continues to say, now, anyone may say it is not necessary to leave that place. Well, it is not necessary, but it's prudent for two reasons. Because if it happens, well, one is in there. And the other thing is, God recommended it. And God's counsel is worth more than anything else on this earth. The scripture says that God will repay recompense to the islands. With the earthquake of Los Angeles, California, that will impact the entire planet Earth, and it will cause such a gigantic tsunami that it will destroy, let's say, one-tenth of North America, that the waves will reach other states in North America, and the coast will be affected, not only in North America, but that entire coast stretching down from California, which goes through where? Through Mexico, Panama, Guatemala, that whole coast, how far does it go? Panama, Chile as well. If they received the blessing of 1906 when the Spirit of God came and brought, opened the seventh age, the Pentecostal age, well, that will also come. What will happen in North America will also come down there. That entire coast will be greatly affected. On page 118 of the Book of Quotations, in the paragraph 1051, it says, the early church started in the east. It went from there, jumped across the sea, over to Germany. It's made three pools. Look here, from Asia down in Palestine, it jumped across the ocean to Germany. That was Luther. And it jumped from Luther across the English Channel over to England by Wesley. And from Wesley, she jumped to the west coast to the United States. And there he writes, to Los Angeles, California, on Azusa Street. He writes on top there. And if you go any further, it's come back to the east again. And look at these three jumps, three pulls. We'll get into that tonight. See how we are at the end of time. On the left, he also writes 1906 and upwards two sentences. Azusa Street, California, USA. And on the right, in the corner there, on the right, at the end of the paragraph, he writes, west, everything has to happen here, and then to the east. West, everything has to happen here, and then to the east. And at the top, he writes, the first church started in the east. The first church started in the east. Now, our brother William continues to say, now, every person should know the things that are going to happen. The same people who have spoken about California have also said that San Andreas Fault goes down. That problem will affect that whole coast down there, Mexico, Panama, and also Colombia, Peru. All the ones along that side, along that coast, will be affected. Chile is also around there, and for Chile, scientific scholars says that something big is coming, and they have been announcing it here too, and they are preparing themselves for a great earthquake that will come. He's preaching this in Chile, in Santiago. And if it is the effect of the great earthquake of Los Angeles, California, then, by those days, surely the resurrection or the one of the resurrection will happen. But if an earthquake that affects a part of a Latin America happens before that, then they will go to heaven before, and in the resurrection they will return in glorified bodies. But whoever wants to remain until he is transformed will thus take the necessary precautions to remain alive. See, because once a person's days end on this planet Earth, there is no longer an opportunity to do anything in the work of God. They go over there and rest until the resurrection happens. The only one who continues to carry out a work is Revelation 11, who only goes for 3 days. He says that it's a trip. He says a vacation in that place. But notice, he will be carrying out a work over there, and then he will stand up on his feet. In other words, it is the same instrument that he's using at this time in the midst of the church bride, giving her the rapturing faith. As simple as that. For years now, in Puerto Rico, I have also said that the coasts of Puerto Rico are in great danger. Well, you can understand why we are in Calle. There are only sandy shores near the rivers. The high part is the most favorable, though it is not free of earthquakes and storms, but it's safer than the coast. On page 149 of the Book of Quotations, in the paragraph 1326, it tells us, this was a sermon that I preached on when I believed Brother Ellie Perry might have been deacon here in the church at the time, for all I know, but he said, the time will come. I didn't know until Mrs. Simpson brought me the sermon the other day, and I got it wrote in a little book that the desert, that the ocean shall weep its way into the desert. That was 30 years ago, and of course, the Salton Sea is about 200 feet below sea level, and if that big churning, that earth swallowing in like that, with hundreds of square miles, hundreds and hundreds of square miles sinking into the earth, that will throw a tidal wave plumb to Arizona. Sure it would. And there on the right upwards, he writes, the tidal wave will reach as far as Arizona. And above he writes, the California earthquake. And in the corner he writes, on the left, USA. And he also writes on top of that paragraph, Hebrews 12, 25 to 29. On page 150. Paragraph 13, 36. It also tells us there, she went and got a prophecy that I made about 1935 or something like that, and said, the time would come, it's written in a book somewhere, that the sea would weep its way into the desert. Look what'll take place if that thousands of square miles down into the lava of the earth and slides in, there will be millions die at one time, and that'll cause such a tidal wave, remember, plumb up into the Salton Sea, it's 100 or 200 feet lower than the sea level. That water will probably come almost to Tucson, with that tidal wave coming across there, and the sea shall weep its way into the desert. At the bottom, there he writes, the Salton Sea in the west, in USA, as it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. And above he writes in two sentences, it will fall in the boiling hot lava in hell. And another sentence, the earthquake of Los Angeles, California. And he also writes there, on the left, Tucson. Now, that's how it happened with in Moses' time with Dathan, Abiram, and Korah. The earth opened up and they went down into hell alive. On page 161, in the paragraph 1434, it says, nations are breaking, the world is falling apart, 1,500 mile chunk of it, 300 or 400 miles wide will sink, 100 or maybe 40 miles down into that great fault out yonder one of these days, and waves will shoot plumb out to the state of Kentucky. And when it does, it'll shake the world so hard that everything on top of it will shake down. And above he writes, the earthquake, 1,500 by 400 and by 400, there's a zero there that it's cut off. And he also writes there, down there, everything will be shaken on top. The earthquake, and on top he writes California, the earthquake, 1,500 by 400 by 400, everything will be shaken. Now, our brother William goes on to say, and now, never take recommendations as though you are forced to follow them, but as a warning, so that whoever wants to escape the problems that are coming knows how to escape, what to do. Even animals look for the safest place. And for the human being not to look for the safest place would mean being less intelligent than animals. We must always look for what is safest, not only for ourselves, but for our family, so that later on we are not crying, but this or that. Now, who will help you then? While there is time, one finds a way to secure things and secure the family in the safest places. If one can and if one wants to, if he can but doesn't want to, well, this is his responsibility. Remember that every person will be responsible for his family. The scripture says that Christ cherishes his church. A man has to cherish his wife and his children. Recommendations are always good. And in the message of each age and of each dispensation, there are always the recommendations from God. On page 169 on the Book of Quotations, paragraph 1511, it says, "You that call yourself by the name of the angels, if the mighty works had been done in Sodom, or they were done in Sodom, that been done in you, it stood today. But your hour has come. You watch and see if it ain't. I'm a false prophet. See, there she is. She's lying there. I remember that night. For I seen that. I seen the preview of the bride," and he draws a Star of David to the right. Before what happens? The earthquake of Los Angeles, California. And he writes there on top, "The vision of the bride, the earthquake of Los Angeles, California." Now, notice something very important, because he says that before seeing that, he says he saw the vision of the bride, which on page he touched on this vision in many messages. But notice, let's go to the masterpiece on page 42. Where he tells us, "And then I have to watch her. She'll get out of the step with that word. If I don't watch when she is passing by, if she gets by, maybe it'll be my time. When I'm over, see, when I'm finished, or whatever it is, when the ministry of Elijah on its fourth manifestation is finished." But because it was promised that the ministry of Elijah would be in its fifth manifestation, well, then the ministry of Elijah is in its fifth manifestation in the midst of the church, watching the church bride. And not only the ministry of Elijah, but the one of Moses, and not only of Moses, but of Jesus. Now, he writes there on the left, going upwards in three sentences, "The vision of the bride may be when he is," and he writes, "right side, maybe when he is on the other side." To the right side, it's a bit further down, it's another sentence there, it would be the fourth one. "The vision of the bride, maybe when he is on the other side," and on the bottom there, upwards as well, "right side," which is what he's going to read more about, and he will talk about it later. What? They was getting back, trying their best, and was getting back. Now, there he also draws a little cornerstone on the right part, and he writes, "Besides the little cornerstone, we must walk in the center of the word for the moment," and he writes, "promised, vindicated, fulfilled, for the age of the grain, the age of the cornerstone." What? They was getting back, trying their best, and was getting back, just getting in line, because they was looking out somewhere else, watching about that church that just went out into chaos. And above he writes, "Laodicean," and that's where he writes. That is, now, further on is where he writes the part on the right. He says, "But two, the front ones, never the back ones, just two or three of them was kind of stepped out a little bit to the right-hand side." And there on the right he writes, "The right equals right hand." And where he had written "the age of the grain," there is an arrow pointing to that part of the writing. And on the left he draws a cornerstone and the ages and the arrow towards the cornerstone. He says, "Just two or three of them was kind of stepped out a little bit to the right-hand side and looked like was trying to get back in line as they went by. They was just passing me, oh, far as here to the wall, past me, and I was standing there. And then I just seen it all move out and leave." But you notice, the church, At the bottom there, he writes, coming back to put things in order with the word in the eighth step. But you notice the church only come into view once, each nation, the church, but the bride come in twice. See? See what it was? Now, not knowing it, but look at it with my message this morning, not knowing that. See? And up there he writes, the bride comes two times. Now, our brother William continues to say, for example, in the time of Noah, there was the recommendation, the message of God, the warning that a flood would come upon the earth and that the only way to escape was in the ark. But notice, the scripture says that they didn't understand. Jesus says, and they knew not, and the flood came and took them all away. Those who don't understand have problems. The divine judgment comes and takes them away. The wise will understand. The wise and the wise will escape. One of the Proverbs says that the wise man foresees evil and flees, escapes. But the unwise doesn't see anything and then he is in trouble. It is like when there is a storm in a country and it's announced, the unwise knows that some winds are coming, which are a sign that the storm is already near. They are hurricane winds, which are warnings through storm winds, and that hurricane is already coming. But he says, no, that's just a little wind there, and if it catches the person out of a safe place, it destroys him. And if he didn't fully secure his house, the doors and the windows, and destroy his home and his children as well, and who is responsible? The storm? No, it is the person who was negligent and didn't understand. He wasn't wise, and he can't say that he loved his family. Shedding some tears later on, it's all an act. Anyone can cry over anything else too. It was lack of love for their family that caused them not to secure their family. And also, from age to age, when problems come or will come, or from dispensation to dispensation, it would be a lack of love from the messenger if they didn't say what was coming. That is why, for the sake of the elect, notice, a warning is given, and to every human being, because the recommendations are given, the counsel is given to everyone. But see, the only ones who accept that counsel and heed it are the elect, those who are going to be transformed. The rest will realize it later. Now, notice in this message, warning, then judgment. On page 11 to 12, Reverend William Branham tells us, in this message, on page 11 to 12, it says at the bottom, remember, God is always in three, like Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and justification, and baptism, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and so forth. He's in three. Now, God is that message of repentance to the church nominal. God's in that message of divine healing to the church Pentecostal. God is in the message to the bride. See? So we find out that all of them calling one to this, this to that, and that to that. God calling the church out of the world, the calling the church in the denominal church into Pentecost, and calling the bride out of Pentecost. See? There on the right, he draws a cornerstone in the ages, like Luther, Wesley, and now, see? It's just all perfectly typed up, and there's no mistake about it. I've hit all around the ends of it, and sides of it, and inside and outside of it, and showed it by the scripture, the chronology of it, till we know that it's absolutely the truth. See, there is no mistake. Someday I hope that God sinks it in so deep that you'll never be able to get away from it. See, now, God giving a warning, prepare for a judgment. The atomic bombs are in the hangars. Everything setting ready. On the right, he writes atomic bombs. And God, before he can let this thing happen, he makes a call down through, like he did in Sodom. Come out of it. Get ready. There is something going to happen. like in the days of Noah before God sent the water to destroy the world in the great antediluvian world that had come off into sin, as Jesus clearly said that it was the day just like this, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And on the left he rides upwards the Son of Man, how the woman on the rampage and marrying and giving in marriage, and the great scientific achievements and the smart educated going into the intellectual side, and the little humble flock setting off to one side waiting the pending judgment and the escape. And before God sent that judgment, he sent a prophet, and that was Noah. Just like he did to Ezekiah, he said, get ready for the judgment, are ready to fall. And he made the people ready for the time. Noah made the people ready, and it was a call of mercy before the judgment. There was a call of mercy before judgment, which is the message of Elijah and Moses. He says, he who receives his message receives mercy. He says, they spurned God's mercy for the last time because we're living as in the days of Noah, where there was a dispensational prophet. And to the right, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And in the previous paragraph, he also draws a cornerstone and the ages. Nineveh was made to know before their time. God looked down to Nineveh and he said, I am just sick and tired of these things. I understand that though that great heathen Gentile world, their city, as it was in them days, they judged them by city. Now it's by nations. Now after the population has spread the way it has, he said, that great city is given over altogether to sin. And God, before he would send judgment, he sent a warning message. Come out of it. Get right. Watch. The prophet never said nothing, but to get said, within 40 days, this city will be destroyed. And, oh, how sometimes it's hard to do such things as that, to tell people, if the prophet don't watch, he'll get in trouble because he'll kind of get off to one side trying to make it easy or compromise a little bit here and a little bit there. Notice, it is a great responsibility for a prophet, and especially when he is a dispensational prophet. But notice, committing himself, knowing that he will make a lot of enemies because of what he says, but he sees the divine program, and God, by his Holy Spirit, guides him to speak everything that he has to speak. And that's how it was in each age and in each dispensation. And the word was fulfilled, it was materialized in the portion relevant to the time in which God sent that messenger. But look, many suffered as it happened at this end time regarding that instrument who has eaten the book. Because he ate it, notice, many persecutions, many problems have come, will come, and will continue to come upon him because of that book. It says, it will make your belly bitter. It was sweet in my mouth, but it made my belly bitter. Those are the struggles, the persecution, and all of that, because of the book. Or compromise a little bit here and a little bit there. But the real prophets got the order from God, should never compromise nothing. He should absolutely lay it right in the line, see? That's the reason he used the spirit of Elijah so much. See? Because that spirit always carried out his orders. That is why I am fulfilling every order, everything that he has told me to speak, and I do not compromise, for anyone. Rather, I'm committed to God and His Word. No matter what problems, enemies come my way, but the elect will understand. They will understand. And they will align themselves and follow the divine counsel. You see? See? It brought his orders just exactly what it was. And always a comeback to the Word. See? Always a comeback to the Word. He says it again there. Come back to the Word. See? Always a bring him back to the Word. Look on page 154 from the Book of Quotations. Paragraph 1381, it tells us, Zechariah 14:4-5, another earthquake, splitting open the earth. If you want to follow out a scripture here, notice, in the fifth verse, it applies that the cleaving of the Mount of Olives, it's due an earthquake. This is confirmed by Isaiah 29:6 and Revelation 16:9, exactly. What is it? The same prophet told of his first coming, seeing his second coming. The same prophet who told of his first coming, seeing his second coming. Notice, as in the days of the earthquake, see what the earthquakes are doing? See the predictions of them? That earthquake to the Gentiles to the last day. And above that earthquake to Gentiles, he writes California. And on the last day, he writes, last day, seventh millennium. And on top, he writes, the earthquake at the last day, Revelation 16, 18. Let's turn there in Revelation 16, verse 18, where it tells us, and there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake. Let's read from the 17. It says, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the earth, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. On top of the verse 18 there, in that part he writes Revelation 21:6, 11:19, and 15, verse 5. And there were voices and thunder and lightning, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and the great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. There we can see that earthquake. Now, notice, here in Job, let's go to Job, where it tells us, in chapter 22, or chapter 38, verse 22, it says, hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? There on the left he writes, snow, hail, and also several scriptures, Revelation 11, 15 to 19, 15, 1 to 5, 8, 1 to 5, all of that is also the seventh seal. There is 2, 18, 1, 14, 10 from 1 to 11, 19 from 11 to 21, 11 from 1 to 19. Notice, all of that is the coming of the Lord or in the coming of the Lord. Now, our brother William goes on to say here, a bit further on, he says, therefore, in the message that I am reading, the obedient wife, therefore, those are things that will happen. The believers in Christ, well, try to find the best way to be and to have their family so that the problems that are coming due to global warming, because the human being has damaged nature, and now nature is not working as it should. Instead of working in favor of the human being, it's working against the human being. All those who want to take advice, well, follow the advice of the Word. Whoever wants to stay in a dangerous place with his family has free will too. On one occasion, they say that there was, it's a story of a man who was very spiritual. He prayed a lot to God. He believed in God's promises, but sometimes there are people who get a little bit fanatic and go to the extremes. One has to stay in the center, not to stray to the right nor to the left. And they announced a storm. Now, it is like when a person asks for a prayer, look, I have this, and the doctor is telling me this and that for you to pray for me. And they have always been told, well, you have to follow the recommendations that the doctor gives you, and I will pray that everything goes well, but you also have to follow the doctor's advice. And he comes and says, well, I already told you to pray for me, so I won't go to any doctor anymore. Notice, you cannot tempt the Lord either. Of course, you will believe it with all your heart, and perhaps you don't even have to walk out of the door, because before you know it, you're healed. Or when they are going to do a medical examination on you, they may find that there's nothing there anymore, see? Because you believed, but you followed the relevant steps. You didn't sit back and relax. That's what happened to Brother Branham's wife, which we talked about the case every time. Notice, he could have said, well, I pray for the sick and God heals them, and I'll tell her to keep believing and I won't send her to the doctor. No, he took all the relevant steps. She had her pre-admission, the admission, and everything. She took all the documents. His wife prepared everything there. Those who helped her, she had someone to look after the children. Notice the whole process that took place, and she had the tumor there. But notice, through that, God was also showing one of the great manifestations of God's power in the third pool, which by the spoken word at distance, notice, she didn't even hear him, nor did she know that he had pronounced those words. Now, notice, when the doctor went to touch her to operate on her, the tumor was not there anymore, see? One has to do what the doctor says. If it's a recommendation or something that, or some illness, and also if it is something, a recommendation and advice, terms of dangerous places, well, take precautions. Now, but remember that the person has free will. One cannot say, tell me what to do. Because if one tells them, well, pick everything up and leave, but they still have some things to take care of or to do, or they can't move in that moment because of certain things, and something happens, but he told me to leave. But it's your decision. You have free will together with your family to do what's best for your family. Now, he goes on to say, and they announced a storm, but he said, that's the story he's telling. And they announced a storm, but he said, God is going to deliver me. I'm going to stay here with my family because God is going to deliver me. The Lord is going to deliver me. He is my Savior. The government took all the people out of the danger zone. But he didn't want to leave. He said, no, the Lord Jesus Christ will deliver me. He is my Savior. The bad weather started. They went in boats looking for people left behind in their houses because the water had already risen. That is, they went on boats looking for people. The water level, they took the people they found and they tell him and his family to get into the boat. But he says, no, the Lord Jesus Christ will deliver me. He is my Savior. Then later on, the water level continues to rise. He climbs up to the top part of the house. A helicopter flies by picking up people, if there were any, and they ask him to come up. But he says, no, the Lord will deliver me. And he didn't want to. And the water kept rising. And he and his family drowned. And when he reached heaven and he started to ask for an explanation up there, This is a story, he says. He starts to ask for an explanation up there from the Lord. Lord, I believed in you. I believed in you. And you didn't save me. My family and I drowned. And we ask you to save us. He tells him, I sent you a boat. I also sent you an helicopter and you didn't want to. Now, some may say, when they are in the Great Tribulation, Lord, I believed in you, in your message. I believed in everything you said, but you didn't come because we were thinking, believing that you would come. You yourself who left, that you would return in that body, in a young glorified body, and in that body you would save us. Well, I sent you the two ministries of Moses and Elijah so that you could believe the message that they would be given and receive the divine counsel, receive the thunders, receive the rapture in faith so that you would be under the ministry, under the tent, but you didn't want to. And he goes on to say, it's because sometimes we think or don't know that God uses many things to bless us, to help us, and to deliver us from some dangers. And when one sees the opportunity, one should take hold of it quickly, because otherwise it has already passed then, and there is no way to get that same opportunity. Now notice, in the message, souls that are in prison now, our brother Branham says here, brother Branham is somewhere here, where he also tells us about something that happened in Ireland. Let's see, it was in Ireland, another story as well. On page 49, souls that are in prison now, he says, let me tell you this, just before closing now, it was told about in Ireland, facing the waters. There was a great reef there, goes down along the side of the bank, and up in this great hill, and there was a man walking along there one day, just in the time, and he circles the time for the tides to come in, and there was a noble man who lived on the hill, and he writes in the cornerstone, Moses and Elijah. And today that noble man is in the age of the cornerstone at the top, giving the warning, giving the counsel. And there was a noble man who lived on the hill that knowed these tides. And he writes there, the judgments. He knowed the time of day that the tides was supposed to come. And again he writes, the judgments. He knew at what time the tides set in. And he writes, the 0 hour. This guy didn't care what time. He was one of these know-it-alls. He had his own ideas. The same thing that's happening at this time. Ministers and brethren with their own ideas, those are the know-it-alls. And there on the left he writes, the noble man and the know-it-all. And he also writes, at the 0 hour. He was an athletic man, smart, intelligent fellow, but he just didn't know the time of the tide. And he writes of the judgments. He didn't know the country. He didn't know the time the sign was right when the moon had dropped. And he writes Laodicean, church. When the moon had dropped its back from the earth, and when God ever drops his spirit from the earth, brother, she is gone. It's all over. Now, notice another place where he says, when he that letteth is taken out of the way. Do you remember that scripture? We have read And we have spoken about this in several occasions. And now, he also shows us here, remember, when the Holy Spirit is taken away from the church, it's taken away from the earth, taken away from the ages, he says, not down here, when he speaks in that part about the segregation of the angels, not angels down here, meaning on earth, in speaking in spiritual terms, in under the seven ages, under the dispensation of grace, he is taken away and becomes incarnate, he says, and comes incarnate in a man. Where? In the age of the cornerstone. When God ever drops his spirit from the earth, brother, she is gone, it's all over. And he writes there, sixth seal. And on the right upwards, he writes, the sign of the judgment, the moon, went away. That moon would ever move out of its place. And he writes, the church, the waters, and above he writes, the fire. The waters would cover the earth like it was when God started in Genesis 1. But the moon sat there. And he writes there, church. And when it just even turns its head, the tides start running in. The wise old man who lived there, and he writes, Moses and Elijah, this wise old man who lived there in the presence of it, knew what time that was. This guy didn't know. He never studied it. He didn't care about it. How many don't care about anything either at this time? And he didn't care about it. And this wise old man ran out and said, my good man, darest thou go any further? Turn back quickly. There's the wall. You can't get up the wall. You'll perish. It's the signs are on. The time, the tide will gush in all at once and you cannot return. Don't go any further. They are going the wrong path. And then it's going to be difficult, or will be difficult to return. And the man turned around and laughed at him and said, because they always hear the warnings, the advice, and instead, what they do is laugh, scoff, mock. There are always mockers. And on the left he writes, the nobleman and the know-it-all, the judgment. Go, take care of your own business. I know what I can and cannot do. And the tides caught him. See? It may be later than we think. See? It'll catch you. Don't go any further. Don't you do it, people. If you've always believed me as being God's servant, take my word this morning. If you ever did, it might be already too late. So much scripture shows it that way. And he draws a Star of David to the left and to the right. He also draws a Star of David. And our brother William goes on to say, if there is an opportunity, it's another opportunity. That is, if there were to be another opportunity, then it would be an additional one. And if one spurns the one that God sends, and you spurned the knowledge that he gives of the things that will happen, as Christ tells us here in the passage that we read of Luke chapter 21, verse 25 and on Revelation chapter 16, if we don't pay attention and wake up to the reality that we are at the time when he says that these things will happen, well, if they are going to happen, then we have to be careful not to spurn the mercy of God for the last time, the blessing of following God's counsel in our time. Let's stand up and thus leave with us in this message our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.